It's time for some Monday morning quarterbacking here on Newstalk 1400 DWS. You can reach us at 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line at 351-5357. Or you can email us at talk@wdws.com. Now, here are the Monday morning quarterbacks, Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, everybody. We have a lot of things to talk about today. We hope that you will join us, get a little dialogue going about any number of things. We've got some controversial subjects to talk about. We've got a lot of results to talk about. And we've got Big Ten football. We've got the NBA starting up, the NFL yesterday. Boy, I never heard of so many injuries, including Aaron Rodgers. That just kind of takes the steam out of watching the games to have a guy like that out.
Absolutely. Minnesota's tied with them now at 4-2 in that North Division, so they're in position to win that division now that the Packers have lost their best player.
Yeah, that division is wide open. Even the Chicago Bears won a game yesterday.
Yeah, they did. They almost gave it away with that punt return. And you know, they had a 3rd-and-1 situation. I figured out in the NFL, when you have 3rd-and-1 and they know you're going to run, it's really hard to get that yard. And then they punted, and the guy returned it for, what, 88 yards for a touchdown? Was that it? Untouched, wasn't he? And then the Bears had to come back and win it in OT.
Devote any time to this, but here is a story that is about 6 pages long, and it's all about the injuries from yesterday.
Just injuries.
There's 21 I counted, and we got you know, Jameis Winston is hurt. Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Fournette is hurt, the running back from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And any number of other players, those are sort of the big names. But we've got Rutgers and Illinois to talk about. I don't know where to start or where to stop or whether to even talk about it or not. What is there to say about that game?
Well, I guess what you have to say about it is that Illinois has reached the low point. It can't get much lower. It can't get any lower. If the worst team among the 65, and I do count Kansas along with Rutgers as the two worst. I don't know who the third worst is, but I think Illinois is now down there with them. And I think that when you're going with as many young players as Illinois is, that's part of it. Part of it is the freshmen. The other part is there aren't freshmen in the defensive line and linebackers, and all of a sudden Illinois is alternating so many players in those positions defensively. If your sixth linebacker is the same as your first linebacker, what's that say about your first linebacker?
You don't want me to go back to the old Zupke thing, do you?
Yeah.
An overabundance of mediocrity is what he called it.
Yeah.
And I liked your lead. This is what it looks like when you're staring up from the bottom. That was your game story on Sunday.
Well,
and that's where they are.
It's really something we have to suffer through here. And I don't know, if they're going to win another game, maybe this coming Saturday is the best chance. I didn't see where Minnesota – I know Minnesota rallied late against Michigan State and scored a couple late touchdowns to make it a 3-point game, but Minnesota hasn't impressed me very much offensively. I don't think they're very good offensively. Now, they're still better than Illinois, but Illinois, I think, is capable if you had a really good game and avoid those turnovers that it seemed to always happen.
Minnesota is a 14.5-point favorite over the Illini on Saturday. Just let me give the others real quickly since we got on that topic of upcoming Big Ten games. Northwestern and Iowa is a pick'em game at Northwestern. And at the Michigan State, the Spartans are 7 over Indiana. Purdue 8 over Rutgers. That's a game at Rutgers. Penn State is 11 over Michigan. And Wisconsin is 24 over Maryland. And I guess that's the bulk of the Big Ten games. Notre Dame 4 over Southern Cal. Oklahoma 13 over Kansas State. Texas Tech 4.5 over Iowa State. Those are some of the a better big game. And Missouri is a 14.5 point favorite over Idaho.
Ooh.
Idaho must be a pretty bad team.
That's Paul Petrino's team, isn't it? Paul Petrino, the former Illinois offensive coordinator, is now the head coach at Idaho, and they've lost a bunch of games. He's trying to build them up.
All right, let's get some calls going here. We're at 356-9397. The text line number is 351-5357. So if you have something that you would like to talk about, just let us know. And Al is first. Hello, Al.
Well, it's kind of unfortunate that I have to call in every Monday.
Why? Why is it unfortunate? We love talking to you, Al.
Well, I understand that, but the circumstances that require my calling is not what I want.
Or we don't know what we want either.
It's, I don't know, it's just head-scratching right now. Beginning of the game, we hold and we get the ball at the 35-yard line, wind at our back, and the first two plays are run, and then we throw it incomplete and we punt. Do something to get the crowd excited. I mean, people are absolutely sitting on their hands, Lauren and Jim. I mean, it's the most boring offense that I just don't get it. And people after the game, I was talking to Bud Serpia, and they all said the same thing. It's, God, they're boring. I said, I get it. I said, I've been calling Jim and Lauren every Monday morning complaining about it.
You know what? What gets me is the sameness of the offense. You know, do we throw any screen passes? Do we have the quarterback roll out and throw a pass every once in a while? Do we throw the ball long every once in a while? No, it's mostly, even when we're completing passes, it's the same formula, it looks like.
And a couple more comments. I didn't realize that Dudek was like your fifth or sixth best receiver on our team. I didn't realize we had this many good receivers that he didn't get to see the field, but I looked up there many, many, many times. I followed Miss Dudek in game. No. A couple drives, not in there in one place. Are you kidding me? I don't get that. At the end of the first half, Lauren, recall last week when Lovey called timeout with about a minute to go at Iowa and when Iowa was at midfield. Well, Rutgers has the ball on their own 12-yard line with a little over a minute to go, and we've got three timeouts. And I'll be darned if Lovey just doesn't let the clock run out. Why not stack the block, make him punt, and get the ball? But we're down 21-10, for crying out loud, and he let the clock run out. I said, are you kidding me? I mean, it's just head-scratcher after head-scratcher. And why can't we stack the block like people do against us? I watched Purdue play Wisconsin, and that's exactly what they did against Wisconsin, and they gave them all they wanted. And I'll say one last thing. Purdue had a flea flicker. It wasn't there, and they threw a screen pass off of that and gained about 25 yards, and it was a great play. And the announcer says, wow, what a great call.
I saw that play, Al. Do you think it was a planned play or a longer pass just wasn't there? So they
I agree. Yeah, he definitely looked downfield, and it wasn't there, and boom, right away he went to the second option, that was the screen. It was a great call.
It really was.
And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, and then some guy after the game Saturday called and said, well, if we can't get it done with Love, we'll never get done. Come on. There are so many good coaches out there that we don't even know about. But I'm very, very disappointed about the low spot in my 40 years of Illinois football, Lauren, Jim, so... Thanks for having this show, guys. It's great.
I appreciate the call, Al. Thank you.
It's a low spot. There's no doubt about that. You got to go with Lovey. He's got four more years on his contract after this year. I mean, we're talking about many, many millions.
Did you see that play he's talking about?
Yes.
The Purdue play?
Uh-huh.
Well, the benefit of the people.
I thought it was the second option. Didn't you?
No, I didn't.
I thought that was the way they planned it.
I thought it was a planned play. I'm just now thinking about it. Probably was the second option, but it didn't look like it. The quarterback hands it off, and then the guy runs up toward the line of scrimmage, turns around, pitches it back to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And now he throws a screen pass.
Now, when they do that, they always throw long. You know, that's why I thought it was a second option, because you see that play once in a while, and then it's usually...
When I saw it and the guy threw the screen pass, I thought, That's really a smart play.
Yeah.
But maybe there was an option downfield. Who knows? But, you know, that what I just was saying to Al about the sameness of the offense, the just no imagination whatsoever. I mean, do we ever have an end around? Do we ever have anything in the least beat a bit? I don't mean tricky, but something different.
You may be when you have four freshmen in the offensive line, you may be trying to keep just as basic as he can be.
Well, I know.
I think there's something to that statement. I'm not saying it's working, but I think that might be the reason or part of the reason.
Let's go to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Good morning. I can't imagine what Lovey is thinking after that game. You wonder when he goes home to his wife and he thinks, and she goes, "How'd it go today?" And I wonder if it's like a day at the office, if he stayed real calm, or does he let it out at home when he gets home and kicks the dog? You just kind of wonder about those things, about his composure. And like I called last week, Illinois was a 2-3 point favorite, and if you go against Illinois, and I think if you go against Illinois, you're going to make some money, and you take Ohio State, you'll make some money, and take Southern Florida all the time, but you can't underestimate any of the Big Ten teams other than Illinois. You look at Rutgers and they surprise you. Maryland surprised you. Purdue surprised you. Indiana could surprise you. So, you know, these teams are fighting, and you just kind of wonder where we're at in the whole mix of things. It seems like we gave up there at the second half, and things just fell apart. And I think the freshman mindset just said, you know, we can't do this anymore, and they threw the towel in. And I think Lovey needs to get a little emotional excitement in the halftime locker room.
Well, that's not going to happen. I watched him all the way to the Super Bowl, and he acted the same way in every game.
Yeah, and you wonder where his emotions are at, and this, you know, there's got to be some excitement there.
I don't know how you can say they gave up. They scored 14 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, I'm not saying that it meant anything, but I mean, they didn't exactly quit playing. I would admit they did it with passes, obviously, and Smalling made some terrific catches in that game. I don't know how good Smalling is, but I think he's pretty good.
No, but if you could have had that excitement at the first quarter instead of the fourth quarter when you realize, Rutgers is not as bad as you think, and these Big Ten schools surprised this year. I mean, you look at Maryland early on. You look at Purdue, I was shocked, against Wisconsin.
Well, Indiana went into overtime against Michigan, too.
Mm-hmm. You just look at these things, and they're coming out of nowhere, and it's like, good for them. Because, you know, those are the schools that used to be written off. Rutgers, you know, before Rutgers and Illinois, you think, if Illinois loses to Rutgers, you might as well just call us Rutgers Illinois or something, because we're now, I don't know where we're at in the list, but we've got to be pretty far down there, I would think.
Well, we always get into this business of talking about the offense. To me, that has nothing to do with what the defense did. The defense couldn't stop them. They had five touchdowns on the ground. That's that's unheard of. By four different runs, it didn't matter. We couldn't tackle them. I mean, that's the problem. If you can't stop the other team, eventually you're going to lose no matter what.
I mean, right, and then you got Butkus as the coach, and he should know that better than anything. And then you're going, okay, if you're doing the same thing and not having any success, that's the definition of insanity. Can we do something different here? You know,
what would you do different defensively?
You either load up the line or you know, you tighten it up or you have a talk to the guys going, you know, you're missing. Or I think they're just learning. They need to learn how to tackle.
Well, first of all, they're getting blocked off the ball. There are about five or six big one-on-one battles going on up front, and we're losing virtually all of them.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't.
I mean, everybody's coming up with strategies on what we can. There's no strategy if you're getting whipped. This is like a bunch of heavyweight wrestlers in which one wrestler is way better than the other. The better wrestler always wins. The better block, if your blocker is better than our defender, they're always going to win. There's no way Illinois can change this.
No, and they're putting the moves on the line. Any school is doing the moves on the line that is just. Our kids are sitting there looking dumbfounded, like what just happened there, and they're sitting there just holding their helmet in their head, going, "What just happened?" And they just missed the whole thing. I mean, they're just like not they're not plugged in. Just something's not plugged in on that defensive line that just, you know, flusters me to how can it be so easy to miss this stuff? But they are.
They're just not good enough.
So I would bet against Illinois again this weekend. I mean, I'm telling you, you just never know where this thing's going to go.
Hey, so, appreciate the call, Joe. Thank you very much. It's 9:20, 49 degrees. We'll take one more call before our first break here. We go to Doug. Good morning, Doug.
Yeah, good morning. You know, it seems we got a fundamental problem. The coaches are unable to teach this current group, and this current group of kids are unable to master the fundamentals. But even just mastering them, they don't have any transferability to transfer the skills as the situation changes on the field. And then to figure out what they need to do immediately without anybody telling them seems to be totally absent. So, you know, we've got to figure something out on how to educate and train the teams or get the coaches to be able to teach the kids.
Well, in 1972, that's the year that freshmen were declared eligible. If what we have right now is a bunch of freshmen, and I'm again, it isn't altogether the freshmen, but what would happen if you took your freshmen and sophomores in 1972 and played the varsity on some Big Ten team? You'd get beat because freshmen aren't ready to play at this level. Now, you can point out examples of freshmen that are ready, but I'm talking about a whole 20 of them is what Illinois is playing. And I just think we're outmanned so badly that, I mean, you can talk all the strategies and whatever you want. Illinois is outmanned. They're getting beat one-on-one. They got to grow into the, I think they got to grow into the situation where they, maybe by the time they're juniors, it'll be a different thing.
Yeah, but it's a fundamental thing. What's the ability to learn and master the skills? And that's the questions I have. We've got to rethink on how that's all done, maybe.
Well, you got guys that were in high school just 6 months ago. You know, I mean, that's what you got. And if you think you can teach those guys to play in that period of time when the other teams, I mean, everybody we play is older than Illinois, everybody. Every team we play is much older. And I think that's an advantage. Some even use red shirts, which is unthinkable. A fifth-year player, imagine that. A 22 or 23-year-old going up against an 18-year-old or 19-year-old, there's a big difference.
Hey, Doug, thanks for the call. We're at 356-9397. The text line is 351-5357. More after this quick break.
Come one, come all to Celebrate Disability, a music and art festival sponsored by the Disability Resource Expo. This free, family-friendly event will be held on Saturday, October 21st from 12 to 3 p.m. at Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. Celebrate Disability will feature well-known local bands 90s Daughter, plus Candy Foster and Shades of Blue. You'll also hear up-and-coming young musicians from the Rock and Roll Kids Camp and the Penguin Project. You can visit the booths of numerous artisans, and if you like, purchase some art to take home. We'll also be presenting some special awards to local citizens and businesses that have been champions of disability awareness. Please join us on October 21st for Celebrate Disability. And also be sure to save the date of April 7th, 2018 for the 11th Annual Disability Resource Expo. For more information, please call 367-5703 or log on to disabilityresourceexpo.org.
We bought a refrigerator at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World 2 years ago. Then we retired and moved and took the refrigerator with us. At our new house, the refrigerator started rattling and then it stopped making ice and then the dispenser started dripping. So we called Dick Van Dyke. They came right out and replaced the ice maker, the auger, the evaporator panel, and they even gave us a new ice bucket. And the cost? Nothing. It had come with a free Dick Van Dyke 10-year protection plan. It saved us $735. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reakin, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This is a true story that happened here in Champaign-Urbana within the past month. Most of our appliances come with our free, exclusive 10-year protection plan. It saves our customers $600,000 every year in repair costs. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. We stand behind what we sell. We offer so much more. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole.
Put your next home project in the hands of a trusted team. Call Pratt Home Improvement for installation and repairs on all your roofing, siding, windows, doors, decks, sunrooms, awnings, and gutter protection needs. 35 years of construction know-how. Jim Pratt continues to serve his hometown of Monticello and an expansive service area that includes Champaign-Urbana, Tuscola, Rantoul, Gibson City, Decatur, Paxton, St. Joe, Philo, Indiana, and all points in between. The Pratt team is LEED certified, insured, bonded, and partnered with the Energy Star program. Jim guarantees you'll always get the attention you deserve and no mess will be left behind, leaving your property looking its best after that job is done. Make Pratt Home Improvement your first call, area 217-621-5176. That's 217-621-5176. Pratt Home Improvement, locally owned, locally operated, offering 0% financing on all their products and services. Pratt Home Improvement, an independent solution to your home repair and remodeling needs.
Get caught up on the latest local news, sports, and weather on the DWS News Hour presented by ABC Heating and Air. Join us this afternoon at 4 here on News Talk 1400.
We're back on our Monday morning quarterback session. Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate here. We go to HT. Good morning.
Good morning. Always enjoy the show, man.
Thank you, sir. What's on your mind today?
Well, I tried to beat Al to the phone, but can't do it. But I never disagree with anything he says. Spot on. And here's my solution. Fire Lovie right now. Pay him the $21 million. He can't coach. He won't coach. Let's remember a couple of things. He got fired from his last two jobs. This team that we just got destroyed by lost 56-0 in its last game. They have a bye. They go on the road. They kick our butt. We had a bye. We practice 2 days during the bye week. We go to Nebraska, lay an egg. You watch Lovie on the sideline. He's 25 yards off the line of scrimmage. Hands folded, talking to nobody, coaching nobody. And the final thing is, if you want to play the race card by saying your top three coaches are black for recruiting, I have no problem with that. But they've got to be competent. Everybody knows that McGee was not the offensive coordinator of Louisville. It's Petrino. He was just doing that for name only. Nickerson can't coach. This is as low, low, low as we've ever been. And I don't want to hear any excuses about he lost. This is his first year. In six games, we are already behind Purdue, Minnesota, and now Rutgers. We can't win with him. Thanks for letting me vent, man.
Okay, appreciate your call. Thank you. As far as I've had a lot of people talk about this, and I know that you have too, that, you know, what is Lovie doing? Who is he talking to and so forth? But as far as his demeanor on the sideline, that's the way he has always been.
Mm-hmm.
He was that way when the Bears were beating up on people. He was that way in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's not likely to change.
No, and he's not the only one that coaches that way. I mean, some people get real involved, like Brohm over at Purdue, involved in the play calling. And if you're not involved in the play calling, I guess that, you know, that basically he's overseeing both sides, and he's always been more involved. Certainly last year he's a lot more involved in the defense. But offensively, I think that this is McGee's team.
I would like to see Lovie step out there and shake hands or say, you know, high-five some guys after a good play when they came out of the game or something to show some camaraderie there and so some relationship between the players and the coach. I don't think that's our problem by any means. I think what you just described as a lack of mature talent is the problem.
Well, this is the last year for the Tampa Bay money. You know, this is the second year here, and he's receiving $5 million, but it's a combination between Tampa Bay and Illinois paying him this year. Next year, it's strictly Illinois. So I get, and I could be a little bit off on this, but I would say after this year, we would owe him about $15 million. And I don't think there's any chance that that Lovie's going to be fired and paid off any $15 million. I think Illinois's got to go with him and hope that he can turn it.
Let's go to Thomas. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, how you doing, Jim and Lauren?
Good.
I think that they just had matchup problems myself over the weekend. I think that the defense, the backfield, was super fast for Rutgers, and we didn't have that type of speed on the opposite side of the ball. I think that, I think what we see when it comes to Lovie on the sideline that necessarily indicate what Lovie is in practice and different places that we don't see him. So
he doesn't get heavily involved in practice. Last year he coached the safeties, I believe, or at least coached the secondary.
When you say involved, you mean as far as coaching or far as showing emotion?
Because either one. He's basically an overseer.
Oh, he's an overseer, but
I can share
with you personally that he has shown some excitement.
Well, I'm not saying that he's the same all the time. I'm just saying that offensively, in practice, McGee runs offense.
Oh, I didn't. That's not my thing. I was just talking about the emotion, showing emotion and congratulating players, because I can personally tell you that he does do that.
Yeah.
But I point to Andy Reid from the Kansas City Chiefs. He seems like similar personality that just doesn't really show a lot of emotions, but he's been coaching and one of the best at
Andy Reid's calling all the plays. He's involved in the game.
No, I'm saying about the showing emotions, not that
I'm talking about a guy that acts like he's involved in the game, whatever he's doing.
Absolutely, and you're not going to be showing an awful lot of emotion if you're calling plays because you're worried about the next play.
I guess that could be true. But as far as demeanor-wise, I think that there's several coaches that have that calm, cool personality. But when it comes to, how they are in private or in different situations, we just don't get to see that. And they just choose not to show that. But that's just my personal.
Okay, I appreciate it, Thomas. Thank you. We have several callers waiting, but it is 2 minutes past the 9:30 news, so we'll... Callers, if you'll please hold on, we'll break here for the news headlines with Brian Barnhart. Then we'll come right back and do more of our Monday morning quarterbacking. Welcome back to our Monday morning quarterback session. Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate here taking your calls at 356-9397. George is next. Thanks for holding on, George. You're next.
When I saw my first game at Memorial Stadium, I saw Dyke Edelman kick an 88-yard quick kick on third down. That's how far back I go. So I've been there. I cannot understand how in the Sam Hell Josh Whitman went down in Florida and brought this man back. He's going to be able to use the young the freshmen this year. They're young. He's going to be able to use next year that they're young. They probably won't let him use the third year. They brought a man in off the pro ranks that's used to working with egotistical 27 and 28-year-old football players and put him on the field. His team is poorly coached. I don't care if he got him from Edison Middle School. His team is poorly coached. And the only thing Josh Whitman's been able to do since his move up here, he spent a lot of money, not his own. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, George. See why George was waiting now. Well, I appreciate his opinion and appreciate all the opinions. That's we are in that stage of this season, and people, I don't think, I know I don't see very much. I don't know where we can win another game.
Well, I'd rather see you guys like George because apathy is worse.
Yes.
And we're getting really close to apathy. I mean, they announced that crowd at 35,000. That's okay. They sold that many tickets. But I will tell you, in the third quarter, I couldn't even guess how few people were there.
Well, the student section on the north end, somebody counted them when the game started. It was like 250.
Well, they never filled up the one section. And they need two sections for the card thing at halftime. Mm-hmm. But they almost filled up one section.
How bad do we miss the quarterbacks who transferred? Now, he says quarterbacks. We know about Jimmy Fitzgerald, but I don't know who else he would be talking about. Yeah. Do we have, if we had another quarterback, maybe he was talking about the guy that didn't come, the J.C.
Yeah, yeah. I think McGee was very high on him. Lawson was his name, I believe.
Mm, yes.
And he just didn't make his grades. And now Jimmy Fitzgerald went to Dartmouth, and in the second, and he's from Centennial, as everybody knows here, and came to Illinois and transferred to Dartmouth. And in the second game this season, he suffered a very severe knee injury, ACL, MCL, really bad, and he's lost for the season. And I think that probably there will be a decision made in the family whether he continues to play football. I talked to his dad, Pat, day before yesterday, and they're very discouraged over the second major injury that he's had. And so he's certainly out for this year at Dartmouth.
All right, let's go to Alan. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, guys. It's been a while, a few years, since I've really looking forward to the basketball season, because we've now established ourselves as a worst Big Ten football team. Plus, yesterday I lose Aaron Rodgers, so as far as I'm concerned, football is about over for me.
Well, you sound like a Cardinal fan. It's over, it's over for us, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. And I'm also like the previous caller. I'm not the biggest Josh Whedon fan right now, but maybe it'll get better. I don't know. I'm just not drinking the Kool-Aid like everybody else. And that's all I got today.
Okay, Alan, thank you.
Well, Josh went all in on Lovey. I mean, that's a 6-year contract for 21-plus. And, boy, that's a big one. And that's not something you just walk away from, Jim.
No, it isn't. I do remember when it happened, though. I think we all agreed that that was the best feeling that we had here in Illini Nation in a real long time. People were excited about it. Maybe it was because of his name. Maybe it was because of his association with the Bears. I don't know. But there was a lot of... I don't know if optimism is the right word or not, but there was a lot of excitement when he was hired. Let's see what Mike has to say. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I guess I'm going to be the minority.
Okay.
My opinion is Lovey's a good coach. He got fired. They're talking about fired for the Bears. You know what his record was? He got fired for the Bears is 10-6. He just missed the playoffs, and they fired him. What's the coaching staff there right now? What's their records? But my point being, Lovey's a good man. He's calm. He's a religious man. He does it his way. I'm telling you, give him time. He's going to turn that around. It's like going to a horse farm. You don't have any horses. That's what happened. Illinois is at the bottom when you come in. He's got a lot of work to do. As far as the fans, both you gentlemen know, you win, the fans are going to come. I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying, give the guy an opportunity. The first year he couldn't even recruit. He had other guys' players. Now he's recruited. He's getting players coming in there. Maybe they won't choose Illinois. Maybe they will, that we couldn't even get before. So when you had Beckman and them, give me a break. I could see a future for Lovey, but people got to just realize what he came into, and it's not going to happen overnight. And I think if people just settle down and realize what they got, he'll do the job.
There's a chance that this nucleus of freshmen, they can build around this nucleus and have a pretty decent team in 2 years,
I
would think.
They got some great wide receivers. They have some talent there. They just don't have a guy behind the quarterback to do it, and they will.
Why do you and every single person that calls in talk about the offense? Like, we're going to be this or that on
offense.
No,
I'm talking about
I'm telling you, if they don't do something on defense, it isn't going to matter.
Well, what do you think that kid out of Texas is going to do coming in?
He's going to help. He's one player.
You're going to kid, he's going to help big time. He's going to be one player. What you were talking about could dominate the other player.
The problem, the real problem is, the undertow problem right now is the fact that some of the kids that have already committed to Illinois or are talking about committing to Illinois are really worried because Illinois is playing so badly. I mean, they really are. It hurts your recruiting and does not help your recruiting when you lose game after game. And they've lost 6 straight Big Ten games now, and 3 this year, 3 last year. And they've been outscored by 200 to something. I don't remember the number now, 200 to 70-something or something. And it's just it's lopsided, and it really discourages recruiting, I'm telling you. This is the problem.
But you can use that on the other side.
Whoops. I'm sorry. I had my hand on the button and cut him off. Please call me back, right back, Mike, if you would. That was my fault completely, and I didn't mean to cut you off. We want everybody to have a say here. Let's go to Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hi. Good morning, Jim and Lauren. I really like Coach Smith, and I hope he does well. He seems like he has a lot of quiet class about him, but it's going to be interesting this weekend if the Minnesota game is broadcast and they have sideline shots. It'll be Coach Smith, and he'll be very calm and so forth. And then you cut to the other side, and P.J. Fleck is almost doing backflips up and down the sideline. So
yep.
It'll be kind of a large contrast in the sideline shots. But
well,
I do like
right, and people were excited in Minneapolis when they got P.J. Fleck. I read a couple of columns where people said, this is the kind of guy we need. Now I wonder how they feel now. They're losing. That's the main thing. You've got to win games, no matter what your sideline demeanor is or how you do it. But you just when you get beat, people are going to lose interest.
Well, I know that BTN, which always does an excellent job, they seem so fascinated with him. And there was a half-hour program about him that seemed like every time he turned on BTN, it was on called Being P.J. Fleck. And I noticed the other night when they had when they were talking about the Minnesota game after the fact, and they had about a five-minute clip from Being B.J. Fleck that they talked about before they even started talking about the game that just happened. So they sure have been focused on him, and that's nice, and I'm sure he's a good coach, and he obviously has brought a spark to the Big Ten coaching ranks.
Well, he has, and people are fascinated by Harbaugh as well. But I'm telling you, Harbaugh better watch it. He better he better win games too. He's he beats Indiana in overtime.
See how many passing yards they had Saturday?
No,
58. Is that right?
I don't know.
They just have no passing attack.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate the call.
They didn't have any passing attack against Michigan State either, but that was partly because you could blame the rain on that. That was they played in a storm that day.
Fire Lovey after a year and a half. Who would you get to come to a program with little patience and loyalty? How do you pay him down $21 million? I think it's a shame that North Carolina gets away with academic fraud while the same people tried to destroy Lou Henson's reputation about a hotel room and a pizza, said Bill. And let's see, this is from Bill as well, a different Bill in San Jose, California. Let's just keep firing the coach every 2 years. That's got to be the solution. Or why don't we give him a chance to bring in more recruits while he is getting and letting the freshmen that are playing or getting quite a bit of a playing time, give them a chance to mature. I feel the program is moving in the right direction. That's from Dan, as a matter of fact. Not Bill. Bill says, at least we have the war chant and the chief. Oh, never mind. We'll take a break. We're coming right back at 9:49 on our Monday morning quarterback session. This is our Monday morning quarterback session. Fans just don't have any patience. Did we really expect him to immediately recruit players who could compete on an even basis from the first year forward? I think even Lauren made some statements about this being a long-term process. Now Lauren says the performance is really impacting recruiting. He says that as if he knows it.
I received that information from people who do the recruiting work.
Well, that seemed to be a pretty good source. I wonder how many of those recruits he has talked to. Lauren is likely speculating, but in such a way that you believe it is carved into stone.
Well, I was just told that. So, maybe the person I talked to players who were here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there was great concern. His particular one player, he said that had committed. He said that very concerned about what was happening. So I'm saying there's concern. I'm not saying they're not coming, but I am saying that there is that it definitely is a factor.
I would think that playing time would be a pretty good
yes. That's incentive. That's what they sold for this freshman team, and this is a good freshman team, but we don't know how good. We don't know if it's really a lot better than the other freshman teams that were ranked the same as Illinois, you know, throughout the Big Ten. And, of course, at Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State, they were ranked way better than Illinois' freshman group. But this is a good freshman group, and it probably will be ahead of the other some of the other freshman groups because of the playing time that they're getting this year. I think that makes them better next year. And that's what you have to do now is play the young players. And then eventually, if it evolves correctly and you get and you have a number of good teams in a row, then you can bring in – then you can start thinking about redshirting and having 50-year players like Michigan State does.
To finish up this letter from Robert, or this text, I should say, John Gross was enthusiastic on the sidelines. We complained that he showed too much emotion.
That's true.
We fans sure are consistent.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Lovey's sideline demeanor has anything to do with what's happening.
No, I don't either. It. But when you're getting a beat like that and there are so many complaints and there are people are leaving the game early and stuff like that, one of the complaints is that he's not. It doesn't look like he's coaching anybody, and it doesn't look like he's doing anything on the sidelines. And people would prefer that he did. Well, that's a fact. And whether it makes any difference or not, and I kind of agree with you on that. It probably does not. Probably always coach that way. And we don't know what they do during the week or who he turns over to what. I just think it makes a big difference if we have an offensive-minded coach that even a guy calling the plays, you know, a John Makovic or somebody, as opposed to a defensive coach. Because those offensive guys have got to be
engaged.
Boy, do they ever. I mean, they got to be watching every play, thinking about one or two plays in advance. Mark is next. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Real quick, I know you're running out of time, but the part I have difficulty with Coach Smith is he just does not seem to be engaged with the community at all. I remember Coach Turner and Coach White and others, you know, if there was a grocery store that was opening up, he was cutting the ribbon and always, you always saw him around town. And which Coach Smith, I mean, his job is to sell the program and put, you know, interest in the team. And, you know, Coach Turner, he was always around trying to get people, you know, when the team was 0-11 to come and watch his team. And I don't see Coach Smith doing that at all. That's my main complaint.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't get to many of these openings of of any of these stores.
You just don't see him, you know. Every year I would watch where the wives of football coaches would host something. And I haven't seen his wife participate, you know, in the social pages at all. I realize that's petty, but I just don't think he's got a connection with Champaign-Urbana that the other coaches had.
Okay, appreciate your opinion, Mark. Thank you. Ernie says, Jim, I blame the higher-ups for not being able to fill the stands. Bring back the chief and the war chant, and you'll fill the stands. This
at least until the third quarter.
This PC stuff has got to stop. Tell the NCAA to take a hike. North Carolina did. Forget hosting tournaments. That's what Ernie thinks about all that. We'll get to North Carolina, and this will be our first opportunity to together here to talk about that. There's also some baseball going on, in case you hadn't noticed. Cubs lost two games because of lots of different things, relief pitching for one and not being able to hit the baseball for another, here on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana. We're back on our Monday morning quarterback session. Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate here at 356-9397. Our text line is 351-5357. What's the best age to retire over the past 2 years? The average, listen to this, Tate, the average retirement age has been 63. Can you imagine that? 63, that's so long ago, right?
A long time ago.
Professionals at Busey Wealth Management can help you plan the right time for you. Deciding when to retire depends on your lifestyle preferences, the changes in circumstances such as divorce, health considerations, and financial readiness. Busey Wealth Management can help determine your optimal strategy. They'll review a variety of variables, and they'll check and see with you how much you plan to spend. You should consider your needs and expenses as well as your retirement goals and your life expectancy. The average age is 84 for males and 86 for females. Their experts understand no two situations are alike. They take time to listen and to understand your needs. Years of experience allow unique insight into planning for a range of situations. Rest easy knowing they will simplify the complexities of planning for retirement. You can also utilize the retirement calculators at Busey.com to get a better idea of how long your retirement savings will last, how much you can expend each month in retirement. The experts at Busey Wealth Management can help identify your objectives, design a game plan to achieve your goals, and implement a plan that fits your needs. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations today for solutions for your lifetime. Well, I can remember you, Mr. Tate, saying North Carolina is really going to get it. This is going to really be big. This is, and you weren't the only one.
I'm shocked. Flabbergasted. I mean, they took such a narrow, the Committee on Infractions took such a narrow view on this decision to basically say that since other students took those courses that they couldn't make a ruling against the athletes. There were 3,100 people took the courses over the 18 years that were involved. About 700 were fraternity boys who figured out, whoa, look what's going on here. Let's take advantage of this and get some free A's, which they did. But the basic purpose of the course was to allow student athletes to get good grades without doing anything. That's what the courses were for. Now, were there other people in there? Yes. And some attorneys who are a lot smarter than me figured out that they could use the fact that other people took those courses. Well, of course other people took them. You can't prevent other people from taking the courses, too.
Even if they tried to recruit other people, boy, the line would be long, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But the point is that this was organized from the standpoint of the coaching staff and the people that work for the coaching staff. In other words, the academic people that work, they were engaged in putting people in those courses for that purpose, to keep them eligible. 10 members of the 2005 National Championship basketball team were in those courses. And, of course, some of them didn't stated later that, you know, they didn't even know that they didn't even know anything about the course. They didn't even receive a grade.
Yeah, you didn't have to go to it, at least on a regular basis. And a lot of people are writing that, okay, they got away with it, but the reputation of North Carolina is really diminished quite a bit by what they did. And maybe so, but something like that is quickly forgotten. Now, penalties are not quickly forgotten.
Well, if you don't allow them to play in the tournament this year, then that's a real penalty. Mm-hmm. Anything less than that's not a penalty. I mean, in my mind, it isn't. I mean, if they penalize, let's say they fine them, okay, they can pay a fine. Teams are getting so much money from TV.
Well, you can reduce scholarships.
Absolutely, you can do that
that's
too.
That's a big one.
Yeah, scholarships and not being eligible to play in the tournament.
So I know those of you that We have several call-in shows where you had an opportunity to talk about this. If you still have some leftover thoughts on that, fine. Also, I'd like to talk some baseball here. And how about that? Those of you that have played baseball for a real long time or have young people playing, or what about that play at the plate? The play at the plate. That's all I need to say about it, because everybody will remember that. So we're going to talk about that. A lot of things going on. Anna Wall, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Durpin. I just wanted to follow up on a rumor I have heard. Do the athletes have to meet the same academic standards as other students?
Yes, they do, but they have their own requirements in terms of staying eligible.
That's what I
And they have to make progress toward graduation. I don't think an average student has to make progress doesn't have to make progress toward graduation. Of course, they want to, but in order to be eligible, you've got a certain number of hours you must pass as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, in order to be eligible. Well, so I'd say they're a little more stringent than the average student.
Well, our room is gone, and that's what I wanted to ask. And by the way, Mr. Turpin said he wanted to talk about baseball. Well, I happen to be a Cardinal fan, and I'm very sorry that my team did not win. So that's that.
Maybe next year, Animal.
I hope so.
When she uses the term athletes in a general sense, she's probably talking about a certain group of athletes in a certain sport, because there are many, many, many students at the University of Illinois who are really student athletes, who make fantastic grades in engineering and in business and all those. Not everybody is, ducking the hard courses and stuff.
No, that's right. Because, Jim, when you graduate, where do you go from there? If you're not going to go into, let's say, the NBA, if you're going to go into the workforce, what good is your I think it's good to have having competed, but if you don't have a good degree, you've missed out on something. And those degrees are free. Take hard work, but they don't cost anything if you're an athlete.
As far as the baseball is concerned, keep you up late, and they're going to do it again. The Cubs. Next game at Wrigley, I believe, is at 8 o'clock.
Do you think TV has anything to do with that?
I wish they played at 1 in the afternoon or something.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Cubs have dropped 2 in L.A. in the NLCS. They moved to Wrigley for Game 3. And the Cubs are having trouble hitting the ball. It's just miserable. And the relief pitching... I didn't know very much about the Dodgers, except that they'd won a whole bunch of games, over 100 games, and I don't think I'd ever seen them play on television this year. But I'm telling you, that relief staff, if this is any indication of the way they've been all year long, I don't know how anybody beats them anytime.
The Yankees and the Dodgers have the best relief pitching in depth. I'm not talking about one reliever. I'm talking about 5 and 6 deep. And I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that has anything to do with they also have the biggest payroll in baseball? In other words, they can pay those relievers, really good pitchers who are only going to pitch one inning maybe every day or every other day. So there has to be something to that. The Dodgers and the Yankees relief pitching is sensational.
You think the television guys aren't happy with this pairing? How about these four teams and the television markets that they play in?
Yeah, and do you know that I'm going to say 3 to 4 years ago, I may be off a year, Houston had the worst attendance and the worst TV viewership anywhere. Houston.
Well, not anymore, because they won.
That's right. And when they were losing, you got to remember, they were a National League team. They moved them over to the American League.
Yep.
And they got their payroll down a little over $20,000. That's $20,000 for the whole team. But they were building. They did the same thing the Cubs did. Houston and the Cubs are very similar in that regard. And other teams, like the White Sox, are trying to do the same thing.
They're all in big cities. All four of them. Jim is next. Hi, Jim.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. How about you?
Hey, good. Can we go back and talk some college football again?
Absolutely. Sure. Anything
okay,
you want.
I'm just curious. I'm actually calling from an Illini Radio Network affiliate in Aledo, WRMJ Radio, a longtime affiliate.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for being on the network.
Do you think the university does a good job of promoting the institution's athletic programs across the state of Illinois outside of Chicago and the Metro East?
That's a good question. I wouldn't have any idea. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to tell you about a story as us being the Illini Radio Network affiliate in Aledo, Illinois. And it just drives me bonkers with, like, the little things that, to me, just are a telling story of how things add up. You know when we got our promotional schedules this year for Illinois football?
No.
4 weeks into the season.
Oh.
You mean like the posters and the schedules and all that?
Yeah, four weeks into the season.
Slow mail, huh?
Well, and it's just stuff like that that drives me bananas. And I guess I'm just envious that, you know, the last couple of years I've traveled to this. Yeah, I go down to Memorial Stadium to see them play in person, you know, probably three or four times a season. And then, you know, this year I went to Iowa City to see a game. Last year I went to Camp Randall. And just how envious I am of that, you know, just, you know, it's one thing to have the product, you know, and being a contender every year, but it's another thing to have the game day atmosphere. I was not going to contend for a national championship this year, but you know what? They played a terrible Illinois team at 11 a.m. on a terrible weather day. They had 70,000 there. I remember last year I went to the Illinois-Iowa game. In Iowa was limping its way to the finish line. Illinois was well out of it. What, 32,000 there, you know, at a poor weather day. Last year when I went to Camp Randall, 70,000. And I remember last week when I was in Iowa City, an Iowa fan goes to me because I had Illinois stuff on. He goes, man, this won't be nothing like the Penn State game last week. I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, this is nothing compared to what's been going on at Champaign the last 5 to 10 years with game day atmosphere. So I guess I'm just kind of venting my frustration of where the product is at. And I'm just curious, Lauren, if you'll be honest, and because people keep telling me, and I keep hearing it, oh, you know, Illinois' young talent, you know, they're freshmen and sophomores, you just wait. And I know Epstein is hurt. I understand that. I think that's a big loss. I get that. When you get steamrolled like that against Rutgers, because everybody's, you know, we look at our schedule early in the season, and what do we say? Well, hopefully this is a win. What do you think everybody in the Big Ten looks at when they look at Illinois on their schedule?
They look at it as a win. That's what they
Yeah, well, that's why I want you all hang up and listen. I've taken enough of your time just kind of venting my frustration here. But I'd like to hear you, because you've been around long enough. I want to hear your assessment of really
how good the freshmen are.
Because I look at, like, because the excuse is, well, even against Rutgers, we're still playing young kids. I'm like, dude, we're playing Rutgers, man. We're playing Rutgers. Mm-hmm. And that's our excuse to give up 35 and can't stop that run against them.
Okay, let us respond, Jim. I appreciate your call.
Thanks a lot. Enjoy listening to you guys. See ya.
Thank you.
Well, it's a little more complicated than just the freshmen, but as I've been trying to say here, these aren't freshmen in the defensive line and the defensive linebacker, which is my concern, because as you mentioned, as you call it, getting steamrolled, Illinois got steamrolled by the running attack of Rutgers, which was very basic. I mean, Jerry Kill may have had some clever blocking schemes in the line, but basically they steamrolled Illinois on the ground. And those are we had Watson, we had Jones, we had a bunch of linebackers and Phillips, and the linebackers who have replaced them now. We've got six linebackers that they're alternating, and these aren't freshmen. And so that worries me. And the defensive line, the same thing, although they do have some freshmen. Crawford is their best defensive end, and he's a senior. And I don't know if these young defensive ends are going to grow into the defensive ends that they want in the future. There's a good chance of that. But I do think that the freshman class is, number one, better than we thought they were, and enough to build around. If you can add additional recruiting classes to them as in the next 2 years, you could have a pretty good football team by 2019, in my opinion. That's just what I think.
You know what the reason was that Trey Watson didn't play very much, didn't start the game? And
no, I don't know why. I mean, I think that he and Phillips have been benched. Phillips, if you remember, Phillips was our leading tackler in the early games this season, and now he's not playing that much. And Watson was in and out, and I don't know what.
He's been the defensive captain.
Maybe they're still experimenting. I mean, maybe Lovey is still experimenting and trying to figure out who he should be playing.
Let's go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, this is Bob. You want to talk about play at the plate?
Yes, sir.
That is the rule.
Well, that's right.
We know that.
That is the rule. Well,
what do you think of that as a rule?
Well, that's the way it should be. Everybody knew to start of the season that you're supposed to give the player half to the plate. And he did not give the player a pass to the plate.
Well,
everybody knows that's the rule. There ain't no sense going and arguing about it or whatever.
We're not arguing about it. What we're asking is that a good rule?
Yes, because then you don't get people injured over silliness like the Ray Fossey and P. Rose deal of plowing into him and ruining the man's career.
Okay, well,
I think they absolutely called it correctly.
Well, they did to that.
Oh, I do too. It was a correct call. I don't know. I've umpired for 30 years. And I don't understand how these guys can call the plays that they call on the balls and strikes. Either it's a strike or a ball if you set it up right.
Well,
I don't understand how they can give somebody, if it ain't over the plate, it has to be a strike if it's on the outside corner. If it's not on the corner, then you don't call a strike. But that's what they do.
You think they'll ever reach a point where they don't have the umpires calling balls and strikes?
No, I think that'd be a wrong move. And another thing, on the replays, I think everything should be reviewable except balls and strikes. Okay. Everything should be reviewable.
Okay.
Now let's try to lengthen these games as much as we can. They're too short now.
You see, they got the next games Tuesday are 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Why do you think they got them 4 hours apart? It might take 4 hours to complete the first game.
Yeah, well, you limit all them catchers going out on every other pitch, talking to the head. You put down the signal and the pitcher decides, yeah, I'll throw that, or he shakes his head, no, I won't throw that.
Here's my rule. You got 10 seconds. Am I right, Jim? You got 10 seconds to shoot a free throw. Is that correct?
That's right.
The official gives you a ball. You got 10. If you don't shoot it in 10, you don't get a free throw, right?
Right.
You have 25 seconds to start a play. If you get up to the line of scrimmage and you don't snap the ball in the 25 seconds, what happens?
You get a penalty.
It's a penalty. Why don't they do that in baseball? If you can't throw a ball in 15 seconds or 20 seconds, whatever the figure is, then that should be a ball.
I played softball for 35 years, and you put your foot in the box, and you keep the foot in the box. If you got out, the umpire could say, throw the ball, and that's a strike, no matter where it was at. These batters getting in and out of the box all the time isn't right either.
They shouldn't allow anybody to go out and talk to pitchers.
It's a Velcro problem. I've been trying to tell you that, Tate. Those guys, you know, even when they don't swing, you know, they stand up there and they take a pitch, then they get out, and then they fix the Velcro then.
That's a ball, or that's a strike. If you touch your Velcro, that's a strike.
No, but you should have the number of times you can tighten your batting gloves in a game. Let's get some...
A rule.
Let's get some... Well, this isn't a rule, but this is something pretty exciting. You remember Guy Little, Jr.?
Absolutely. I met him.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Were you in a show or anything?
No, I was never in a show, but I sort of met Guy Little several times.
Well, they're having, I have too. He's been in this studio. I've interviewed him and a long time ago, but Guy Little Jr. estate sale is coming up. It's Sunday, October the 22nd, and from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock. It's an estate sale at the Little House on the Prairie. That's at 1700 South Patterson Road in Sullivan. And the list of things that are available there is just almost too long to mention. Now, the one on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and then, if necessary, they'll continue on until Sunday. Don't want to confuse you on that. The big sale is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October the 21st, and then on Sunday, I guess it says if necessary. It probably means if they haven't sold everything or they want to do something different on the second day with regard to pricing and so on. But there is a piano there, an Emerson Square grand piano, antique furniture. They've got miscellaneous antiques and collectibles. And on and on and on. And this is much too long to read. I just wanted to do this is a Norm Willoughby auction, and I wanted to let you know about it. And the terms are cash or a good check or credit card. And Mr. Little is the founder and the guy that operated the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan for many years, owned and operated the Little House on the Prairie Bed and Breakfast in his later years as well. This is a unique opportunity to purchase a large collection of his personal property. Honored to have the opportunity to offer this unique collection, say the folks at Norm Willoughby. And I have been to the, have you ever been to the Little House on the Prairie, Lauren? We went down there on a tour one time. And with Lou Lier and a group of people on the bus, and we toured that place. It's a fantastic place to see, even if you aren't going to buy anything.
Where is it located?
It's down there. It's
outside of Sullivan?
Yeah, outside of Sullivan. I was just looking if they had an address on it. It's on Patterson Road. It's actually in Sullivan, but it's out. It's not like downtown or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday, October 21st, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's 10:32, and Brian Barnhart has the news headlines. We'll come back with more of our Monday morning quarterbacking after that. We're back in our Monday morning quarterback session. This is the next to last broadcast from this studio, where I have been broadcasting, Mr. Tate, since 1980.
That's and you exactly have too. Right.
You've been... You were in here probably before that.
I was in 79 with Larry Stewart. Do you believe that?
Tomorrow, I will have an open line the first hour. Then Jim Dye will be here for hour number two. And then on Wednesday morning, we'll be down at the new studios at the News Gazette building. Brand new studios, new equipment, et cetera. A little different setup than we have here, but... I'm sure we'll have some kind of an open house and show people around one of these days, but we'll have the first show on Wednesday morning. First Penny show will be on Wednesday morning, and the guest will be Justice Steigman. So my plan is, if I can't get the equipment working properly, I'll just get up and leave the room, let him talk.
Well, he can handle it.
Well, I told him last night, I was talking to him, and I said, I think it's totally appropriate that you are going to be the first one in the new studios because he's been on the air for 30-some years.
Many a time I've given him a good listening to.
I bet you have, yeah. John in Forsyth says, Madden, had the call gone in favor of Chicago, he would have been fine with the rule. This is not football. This is baseball, and the reason the rule is there is because of injury to both players. Exactly right. How many years did they play without the rule? I'm not objecting to the rule. I think the rule is probably good. But didn't they play for since the beginning of baseball without such a rule?
Oh, yeah. Since the beginning of baseball, the idea is to turn over the guy at second base so he can't make the relay to first.
Yeah,
can't do that anymore. You got to slide into the base. Mm-hmm. And the play at home would have been okay if he hadn't extended his legs so far out. It was almost awkward he had it so far out. He definitely was blocking the plate. You can say, well, did the throw bring him into the plate? You know, did the throw cause him to go over? It didn't cause him to go that far.
And John also says, regarding the strike zone box, it's a good guideline, but hardly always accurate. It can vary with the movement of the batter in his box.
What?
that doesn't make any sense, John. The strike zone and the box they put up there is not moving. And the batter can move around, but the box stays there. Dave is next. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Jim and Lauren. I missed the first part of the show, so this may have come up before. I'm sorry if it did. But I am really disgusted with the News Gazette putting all those F's up on our scorecard. If they just look over on the left side of the page where there are statistics, they find out that, yes, we played bad defense, and, yes, we played F turnovers. But total yards and all the other statistics were in our favor. It wasn't a totally bad loss. We did a lot of things good. And yet they come up with all these F's. I don't like that.
Well, I think probably the decision was based on the fact that who you were playing, and Rutgers being the worst team among the top 65, although Kansas could argue with you, and losing to them in that fashion, I don't know, maybe an F was warranted. But you're right about statistics, because late in that fourth quarter, Illinois had a lot of yards in the air, a lot of yards.
And we had good passing except for the interceptions and the one brain-dead fumble that we had down in the...
Wasn't that something?
That really, really hurt. But, we were in the game for a long, long time, and I just regret that they all paint with a broad brush and just give us an F on everything. I don't like that.
Okay.
So I just thought I'd voice that.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks very much. I don't even care for grading. I suppose a lot of people look at that. I don't. I mean, I look at it, but I don't. Doesn't bother me one way or the other.
Let me just, I've got this, I'm making this point about defense. Rutgers scored every time they had the ball into the fourth quarter. In other words, the first three quarters, they scored every time they had the ball, except when they had penalties or fumbled the ball away. In other words,
and they scored on the ground, on the ground, too.
Yeah, but Illinois never stopped. And by the way, they completed their first four passes, and then they basically just quit passing. I mean, they didn't have to.
Found out they didn't have to, that's right. 10:44, 57 degrees. Let's take a break here, Ed. And we'll come back right after that and go back to the phones. Well, the Illini volleyball team beat both Ohio State and Maryland over the weekend and didn't lose a set doing it, won six consecutive sets. They're now tied with Michigan State for third place in the Big Ten standings, right behind Penn State and Nebraska. They're tied for first with 7-1 records. But now the schedule gets tougher for the Illini with Nebraska, Minnesota, and Penn State right in a row after the next game, which is they call it. I finally got around to calling a set. It's at Iowa. It's on October the 20th, then Nebraska, Minnesota, and Penn State. So teams playing well, and man, that is a tough row to hoe right there. Let's go to Walter. Hello, Walter.
Hello, Jim and Lauren. Jim, I want to clarify something. Well, this isn't about football, but I did want to clarify. I called in a couple of months ago, and I was talking about an instructor I had at Parkland back in 1968, and then that instructor was Anna Wall Scott, and I heard her earlier today on the show, but I don't get to listen very often. When I was talking to you the last time, my ear touched, I had the radio turned off, and my ear touched my iPhone and turned it off. And I thought I was still talking to you, and I was talking to no one. So So anyway, what I wanted to clear up was Anna Wall was one of the best instructors I ever had. I went on and finished up at Parkland. It was a the class I had with her was either a sociology or a psychology class. It was about alt guilds in America. Anna Wall would know what that means. But anyway, I finished up at Parkland, and then I went on to U of I and finished up there at the College of Industrial Education. And I taught for over 40 years, and I still am. I have a part-time job teaching an apprenticeship program for electricians. But anyway, I know Anna Wall's probably still listening. I just wanted to let her know and let you guys know that she was one of the best instructors. She inspired me to become a teacher. And I'll never forget her. Every time I hear her voice, you know, it takes me back to 1968 when I had her in my class. At that time, Parkland was scattered everywhere.
Yeah, well, thanks, Walter. We really appreciate that. I'm sure Anna Wall does, too. If she didn't hear you today, next time she calls, I'll mention it to her. And we go to Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to say a couple things. The Big Ten is so skewed right now. You know what I mean? It's like two or three really good teams and a whole lot of nothing else besides that. Illinois is not even an afterthought in the conversation at this point. But, Laura, do you know who really controls their own destiny all the way to the Final Four this year in the Big Ten?
Wisconsin.
Michigan State.
Well, okay.
They went out, they're in it.
Yeah, well, of course, they got to beat Penn State and Ohio State, which I don't think they're going to do, but they got it was a great win over Michigan, I will say.
Well, I'll say the next time a Harbaugh in Michigan win a big game will be the first time. Did he want eight big games since he's been at Michigan? All the cream pops he's beaten, and nobody else.
Well, I'd have to go back and look at it. I don't know if I could say that, but... He's certainly been, I think, a disappointment at this point. Listen to Michigan
your
State.
Your point about Wisconsin, Lauren, is that they have almost a clear road to the championship game.
Got to beat Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, and Michigan's showing some weaknesses, so that'll be a really tough game. But they only beat Purdue 17-9, and Purdue got all the way down to the 5-yard line and had that pass intercepted late in the game when they could have gone for a 2-point conversion to tie. And I thought Purdue played them off their feet. You know, I mean, not that Wisconsin didn't have better stats, but Purdue was right in the ballgame, right to the end.
There are three Big Ten teams in the top five of the Associated Press poll, and that would be Penn State at number 2, Wisconsin is 4, and Ohio State is 5.
Nothing is forever. We thought the SEC would be dominant forever, and they're not. Alabama is, but who's the number 2 team in the SEC? Mm-hmm.
I don't have it in front of me. I don't know. But you're quite
well,
right.
Well, it's probably Georgia, but they don't have the depth of you know, something's wrong in the SEC right now. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Georgia's number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Alabama 1, Penn State 2, Georgia 3, Wisconsin 4, and Ohio State 5. Michigan is 11, and Michigan State 20. 10:52, 57 degrees, one final break, coming right back with the final word and take another call or two after that. Back to the phones we go on our Monday morning quarterback session to Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning to you guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Oh, just a couple, I got a comment and a question. Comment is, it's just as a lifelong Illini fan, it's just really depressing to see the Chief taken away and then the fight song gets taken away, and then we have a poor product on the field with a coach that doesn't show a lot of emotion. I'm sure he's sickened by the performance and whatnot, but I'm sure he looks at the bank account and gets over it pretty quick. Is there a chance, and I've heard rumors, that Lovie just doesn't like Champaign Urbana, is there a chance he would leave before the contract, the terms of his contract, and what kind of things are in place that if he were to leave, does he have to give a percentage of that back?
I think he does, but I don't have it in front of me. I've got problems. I tried to call that up a while ago, and I can't get it up right now because of the difficulty of getting stuff on my Googling here. But when I leave, I'm going to check on that. I think he does have to give something back, but I don't know what it is. But, okay. But it would, if his contract was originally $21 million, and this is the second year, and he's been getting most of his money from Tampa to get to reach his $5 million these 2 years, I would assume he's got between $17 and $19 million coming for the next 4 years. I assume that. I don't know that for sure.
And what's your take on his handling pressure and the negativity surrounding the play and the performance? I know there's optimism about the young team.
It rolls off of him like, you know, water off a duck's back.
Meaning he's used to it, or well, it appears like he, you know, just doesn't faze him.
It doesn't faze him. I don't think it phases. I mean, maybe it does down deep, but he doesn't show it. We're going to meet with him here in another hour or so, or a little bit more than an hour, and he'll be fine. He always is.
Right. Well, like I said, the rumor that he just doesn't like Champaign Urbana is, has he purchased a home there? Is he getting out of the community?
He lives downtown.
Yeah, he's got a what amounts.
It's like a condo.
Yeah, I was going to say condo.
High rises.
It's on a high rise, right?
Wow, I'd hate to be Brad Underwood right now. He's got a lot. His stock and pressure on him now is just going through the roof. Everyone's looking to basketball now. Anybody that's any kind of fan is kind of written this year off, I think. But man, he's going to have a lot of pressure on him.
That's true. There's always a lot of pressure on every coach. And I don't know, you know, Underwood's team is being ranked in the bottom four of the Big Ten this year.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
The preseason rankings have them in the lower half of the Big Ten?
Yeah, lower than that, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, there are eight or nine teams clearly better than Illinois in basketball right now, without
right.
a doubt.
In
the league.
Right. I'd rather go to an Illinois tennis match, a golf match, a cross-country match than spend 4 hours watching that product on TV or in person. That's for sure.
You ever go to volleyball? You ever go to volleyball?
I do. It's a great. They do great. I love going to their volleyball games. A
lot of action there. I got to go. You're on DWS in Champaign-Urbana.